when we started talking, we realized that, you know, Kathy's spirit animal is obvious. You know, the unicorn, right? Am I assuming, right?
Oh, 100%. 100%. I manifest the unicorn into my life.
Yeah. But Stephen told us something very troubling. Stephen
not only
has no spirit animal.
Yeah. Not only have I never manifested anything to my life, I also have never really seriously considered what my spirit animal would be.
I don't even know you, man. I don't even know you.
You should not be surprised by this.
I'm so disappointed right now, but I feel like this is the journey that we need to take this episode.
Welcome to Fusion, everybody. We talk about stuff.
important stuff.
Kathy and David are here to mock me. I don't know.
No, this is not mocking. We're asking the very important questions.
Well, before we get to me, what about you, David? What's your?
Oh, it's a sea turtle. It's obvious. I mean, I can't believe you didn't know that about me.
Oh. The giant sea turtle neck tattoo really should have given it away, but it didn't.
I was scuba diving one day and I bumped into a family of sea turtles and I had a connection and I realized that that's my spirit animal right there.
Oh, I love that. All right, Steven, your turn.
I got nothing. This is not a thing that I care about at all.
A lion? Rawr. We're learning a lot about you today.
I don't feel like this should be a surprise to either of you. You both know me pretty well.
No, really, like, the opposite of a surprise.
It's on brand. I get it, but I'm sad. And a little part of me is sad. Mm-hmm. Ask Mary. Mary will know. Mary, ask Mary what your spirit animal is.
I'll tell you what. I'll get her.
Yeah, go get her.
Can you come join our recording? While I wait for my wife to text me back, this is Fusion. My name is Stephen Hackett. Kathy is the host of Conduit and RoboWisdom. David Sparks is on Mac Power Users, Automators, and Focused. Did I miss anything? 5 shows between the two of you.
Yeah.
Well, how many do you have? I mean, let's hit 10. I mean, yeah. Right? How many do you have?
That's true. It's like 5 or 6. If you count the membership stuff, it's a lot.
Yeah.
So just so anyone counting at home, Steven has more than both of us combined. So I'm really not appreciating the judgment,
it wasn't judgment.
You have towards us.
It was just awe. So my plan was to talk about how we approach the end of the year, but now we're talking about this instead. So there's that.
Yeah, I feel like there needs to be a better word for this animal identification. The whole idea, you know, spirit animal is very much like appropriated from indigenous culture, American, Native American culture. And then Patronus has the whole turf aspect to it. So really, I think this podcast episode today should come together and create a better name for it while we're waiting for Mary to arrive.
Wow, you're really putting a lot on me.
Yeah. Hey, Mary's here.
Oh, good.
Yes. You need to put this in your ear. Okay. I don't even have regular headphones for her. She's just like jamming one of my in-ears into her ear.
Your ear's different than mine.
Nice.
Mary, it's good talking to you. I haven't talked to you in a long time. How are you?
Hey. I know. Hey, it's been a while.
We have an important question for you.
Okay.
Yes. What is Steven's spirit animal?
They were surprised that I don't take this sort of thing seriously.
Well, you're always telling me what my spirit animal is. And they're always...
Oh, wait. So Steven does believe in spirit animals. He just thinks he's too fancy for one.
It's mostly just to make fun of...
It's always the things that are making fun of certain personality traits of mine. Like, I'm usually some sort of rodent.
You're like a flying squirrel.
Oh,
like
no.
A chipmunk or flying squirrel.
You're kind of chipmunky.
Or a...
Okay, well, that's okay. A chipmunk is okay.
But no, seriously?
Now's your chance to get even. What is this spirit animal? It's okay. It's just us. Nobody's listening.
Yeah, nobody. It's fine.
Grizzly bear.
A grizzly bear?
Yeah.
Whoa.
You know what? I totally see that.
You see it? Because totally you like to nap in the winter, especially. Uh-huh. And you could be kind of grumpy, but you're soft and you give good hugs.
I love that.
And when he lets the facial hair go, I see some similarity,
yes,
too.
Yes, yes. And it. The hair. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the hair, of course. I mean, that is grizzly hair.
Yep.
All right. We got it. Okay. Well, I'm glad we sorted that out. Yes.
Thank you for this very important update, Mary.
No problem.
We appreciate your time in this serious conversation.
I'm glad I was nearby to settle this dispute.
Merry Christmas, Mary.
Thanks. Merry Christmas.
Well, I'm so happy we know now that Stephen is a bear. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not just a bear,
that
a grizzly
laughter,
bear.
Though. That laughter is giving me life.
All right. Well, you know, Stephen, she knows you best.
It's true.
And I think she nailed it. She nailed it.
So, end of the year stuff.
Okay. I think we can move on now. I feel like this is I just needed to sort that out. I'm glad.
Come on. It's the end of the year. Everyone's a little bit frazzled. Everyone needs a little bit more joy in our lives and discussing, you know, what animal we identify as. I think that's important.
So we were kicking ideas around what we want to talk about today. It's the end of the year. Obviously, it's an interesting time to talk about, you know, where we've been the last 12 months, where we want to go. But I think the three of us all sort of approach that differently, or maybe we do. And so I thought we could just kind of talk about our process and approach when we think about a new year. So Kathy, how do you, as November turns into December, how do you approach this?
Yeah, so it definitely doesn't kick in, you know, December 1st. That's, I always seem to forget that the end of the year is coming until suddenly we're like, oh no, I'm going to have to start practicing new numbers at the end of the checks that I write. But it's always a good chance to look back at what has happened in the year. I have a terrible memory. Plain and simple. And so being able to kind of remind myself of, oh yeah, that was this year, is really helpful. And utilizing my, you know, Instagram and scrolling through and going, oh yeah, that's what happened, really refreshes my mind so that I can kind of mentally get ready for what I think the next year will be.
Yeah, I'm a little more, of course, I'm more systematic about it.
Yes, as sea turtles often are.
Yes.
The most systematic of animals.
Sea turtles, you know, they live a long time. They're wise, right? So they have to use that.
Nice.
I believe if a sea turtle had obsidian, it would use it, except it would be really hard with those big flappers to tie. But anyway, I actually do think... the weird thing about me is a long time ago, I gave up on like year goals. I think goals are generally kind of dumb. Mike and I talk about this on Focus once in a while. But the, you know, goals, it's just like it sets a stake in the sand where you say, well, I'm going to do this. And you get to the point and you do it and you feel empty inside because you hit the goal. But now what? And, you know, as humans, you know, this life of ours is a journey. You shouldn't think about endpoints, you know, you need to just continue moving. So I don't think in terms of years and I don't think in terms of goals, I think in terms of quarters really. And so I'm very thorough, four times a year of kind of going through and saying, well, what have I done and what do I want to accomplish in the next, you know, 90 days? And I think along those lines, but there is a couple things I do on an annual basis. One of them is, I try to look at lessons learned from the past year. I do this every year between Christmas and New Year's to say, you know, what were the things that went well and what were the things that went poorly? And, you know, what was my role in that? You know, it's so easy to blame things on COVID or whatever, but, you know, ultimately we're responsible for what we do. And I try to come up with a list of things that I can do better and things I should avoid going forward, you know, try to get something out of what I just went through. I think so often we get to the new year, and especially these last few years, you're just so exhausted from it all that you just want to start a new year. And I feel like you're missing a chance there to kind of look back and figure out where you could have got better if you, you know, take a look at it. How did you deal with this? When I grew up, my parents were Depression era kids, and they lived like on the hard edge of the Depression, you know, like both of my parents were basically, you know, they had no money during the Depression. So they really had to find a way to get by. And that informed the rest of their lives. And I feel like, you know, we've just gone through something that is informing the rest of our lives. So we should be intentional about it and look back at it. So I do some end of the year stuff, but in terms of like, you know, year themes and stuff, I know Mike and Gray do that. And I think that's really awesome because I like the principle of it. But for me, I just, you know, I don't have the attention span to hold on to something for a year. And I find thinking quarterly works a lot better for me.
Well, I think particularly where we are now with COVID, like, who knows what a year from now, right? I mean, honestly, if we're 2 years into it and there's no sign of it slowing down, really. So I sort of have approached 2022 with this more quarterly mindset. And so I think I may be following you down that road a bit of, hey, every 3 months, take a day, take some time to sort of really assess this stuff, because a year is a really long period of time normally, but especially right now.
Yeah, I really like the idea of yearly themes that Gray and Mike do. It's really changed my mindset on like how to think about the year. Goals, the same thing that you did about the idea of, oh, you checked off a goal and now what? I have a kind of an alternative idea and mindset of, well, what constitutes actually finished? Like, oh, I want to, you know, make sure I drink 8 ounces of water every day, or 16 or 32 or 140, whatever the magic number that science says that you should be drinking water. Well, if you miss a day, well, then you haven't done it every day. And so that goal, like, okay, how does that change? Can you check that off? Are you successful or not? And this idea of having just a kind of overarching umbrella word for the year has really helped kind of navigate what my yearly, not purpose necessarily, but an awareness. Over the past, you know, decade, my life has changed so significantly that I'm just now getting out of a fight or flight mode. And then, you know, COVID hits and we're back in fight or flight, but a different style of it. And so kind of fixing how my brain is working to better live in the now and also have some hope for the future. And so being able to pick just a word that I can constantly think, okay, this is a big decision. Does this decision bring me X? Is this going to be helpful for the overall goal for the year? Means that I'm kind of making mini goals, but not actually like an overarching yes. My success is dependent on X, Y, and Z.
Yeah, I think what's nice about their theme system is it does give you something that's like really easy to handle and turn over in your mind. My angst with it over the last couple of years has been it kind of exactly what we were just talking about with David, is that it is hard to think about an entire year in advance. I think in addition to COVID, especially like just like the type of work the three of us do and a lot of our listeners do, where we, you know, our work isn't necessarily like a 9-to-5. It's really like a series of projects we've strung together and family life changes and all these things. And I get where they're coming from, and I think it's a useful tool. But I think now, as like the fourth or fifth year I've attempted a yearly theme, I'm just realizing that that's not really the tool that I need, at least. And I think the quarterly tracking, or whatever you want to call it, is maybe a little bit closer to what would be more useful for me, at least.
I think it's so important to be able to recognize what works for you, and that there is no one overarching, this is the perfect solution for
Can't
everything.
Can't tell me what to do, Gray.
What I love about the end of the year is the ability for people to kind of take a moment and think about what works for them in a way that doesn't normally happen through the rest of the year.
Yeah, I get a sense of renewal from January 1 that And I know it's just a day on the calendar. It doesn't really make sense. But for some reason, I do get like a sense of renewal from January 1. And I do like to try and take advantage of that. And I, you know, like everybody else that thinks about this very long, New Year's resolutions don't really work. But I do think it is a chance for you to stop, take stock, and try and like course correct as you, you know, wander through this journey.
Yeah, because there's nothing inherently magical about the date, but we as humans like touch points, right? We like, oh, this is an easy thing to sort of latch on and attach meaning to. And so this time of year, that's really useful. I think other times of year when I have felt that, oh, I really need to focus or change on something, and it's like April, like part of me thinks, oh, I can just coast on this for 8 months. I don't want to, right? But I think New Year's has been like over-indexed because of like the resolution thing. And I agree with you, David. They just don't work.
I also do something similar on my birthday where I kind of take stock of myself, and I always carve out like 3 hours to sit down and write out my thoughts. And forcing myself to write it down forces me to like really think it through. And I just think in general, I know in my case, and I would guess a lot of listeners, we don't spend enough time thinking about the big questions. You know, I always talk about it in terms of maker and manager. You know, you spend all your time making, not enough time managing yourself. But it's even like deeper than that, where like, am I happy doing what I am? You know, what is the state of my relationship with my spouse, my children, that kind of stuff. It's easy to get lost in the day-to-day and not really study that stuff. And just thinking about it for me is not enough. I literally have to write it down. And I can do it with a keyboard or a pen and a paper or whatever. But but forcing myself to really drag my brain through that process, it always results in me making changes and improvements. But it's really hard to find an excuse to do that. And January 1 could be a great excuse to do that.
Yeah, I think it can be hard sometimes to find that time and that effort and energy to be able to sit down and do that big review. It's really emotionally draining. And if you're constantly trying to, you know, it's the end of the year. We have so many holidays, so many like societal pressures on us to make sure that the end of year is successful with Christmas or Hanukkah or any holiday that you celebrate, and then have, you know, a New Year's Eve celebration. It can be really difficult to find that time. I love the idea of doing it on a birthday. Obviously, that doesn't work if your birthday is on, you know, Christmas or December 31st or January 1st. But having that as a time that is more personal to you and not in the midst of this pressure of, oh my gosh, we have to have the perfect Christmas every year, could be really, really helpful.
And what I'd add to that is, it's not, oh, you know, I give myself like 3 hours on my birthday, but usually when I do these quarterly things, it's an hour or two. And if you think about how much TV you consume or YouTube you're watching, or, you know, insert your stupid time waster here, you've got the time. The question really is an energy thing where it's like, yeah, do I really want to ask myself that and answer it? And am I going to feel like a tool sitting there, you know, navel gazing on paper? And the answer is yes, you will. But it's okay, because you will appreciate the process if you try it, you know. So I would do that. But New Year for me really is, I really like, you know, going back to what I was saying earlier, trying to like capture some wisdom from the prior year. That's to me kind of the big takeaway in that week between Christmas and New Year. I try to like figure out how operationally am I going to change as a result of what I just went through. You know, I mean, that's where I got the idea to start getting more virtual help and, you know, accepting that I'm not the person that needs to do everything that ships from Max Sparky. And like, so as you start thinking through stuff like that, you look back at your failures and your successes, that I think it really does help. And it's a great time to do it because of that sense of renewal you're going to get on January 1st, go into it with a fresh mindset.
Yeah.
Are you guys looking forward to January 1st, your new year? You got big plans?
We're going to the coast. Ooh. To a condo, hanging out with the family. Hopefully everyone will get to go. That's always difficult, is the two plans on whether my husband can make it or not. And so that's always the pre going anywhere is always really stressful. But once I get there, I'm excited to kind of detach and relax and do some things, but not a whole lot.
What about you, Steven? You gonna go up in your cave?
I mean, for me, it's just time off. I've got this and then an episode of Mac Power Users, and I'm basically done for the year in terms of recording. And so taking most of the next couple of weeks off just to be with the kids. I don't think we're going to go anywhere, but having just some time away from work is something I'm looking forward to.
Yeah.
What about you?
I got a couple of things up my sleeve for the new year.
Yeah.
I got a couple of things I'm working on.
Are you going to Disney and making me very jealous?
Are you kidding? I'm going to Disneyland tomorrow.
I was going to say, he could be there right now. You never know.
I know. We would never know.
You know what's funny? It's kind of, we're going tomorrow morning. We got a reservation, and the rain is coming in tomorrow. You know, in California, we all get happy when it rains, but it's not raining until the afternoon. But Daisy wants to, we're recording the, I guess this show releases pretty fast. It's not like MPU. But Daisy has to finish a little Christmas shopping, but I'm actually going into, to the Batuu. There's a couple areas there where I like to sit and think, and I'm doing my list, my 2021 audit I was talking about earlier. I'm actually doing that tomorrow. I didn't, that's not why I raised it earlier, but that tomorrow's the time I've designated for that. So I'm going to be working on looking at what went well and what went wrong. So Steven, you're going to get a bunch of emails from me probably next few days.
We're doing this and that.
Yeah. So I'm going tomorrow, but that's just another day for me.
Yeah, I know. We're still hoping for fall of 2022. We'll see how the pandemic sits.
Yeah, I know. I am super, like, I don't go indoors when I go there. I wear a mask, and you know, I'm like, now with Omicron, I don't know what, like, I've been double masking now. Which, by the way, is not inconvenient at all. If you're wearing like a nice, like I usually get those KN95s. And if you just get one of those other ones, like the I don't know what you call them, the ones with just the single sheet with the two bands, and put that on top. I don't know. It just kind of holds everything together there. And I know I look like a weirdo walking around with two masks on, but.
Better a weirdo than not.
Yeah. I mean, you look at the charts for Omicron, it's nuts. Mm-hmm. But and I probably really shouldn't be going. But I feel like as long as I stay outside, I eat outside, I don't, go indoors. If there's a big crowd, I go around it.
Yeah.
But we all take our risks.
One thing I do think, kind of, no matter what your system is, or if you're just starting and you haven't really considered these things before, I think carving the time and I think space out to deal with this stuff is really important. Not everybody can hop into Batuu like David can, but even if it's just, hey, I'm going to take an afternoon and go, work outside or go work at the coffee shop or just someplace that's removed from the desk you're normally at, I find to be an extremely useful tool because I need to break away from those things. I need to have Slack and email closed. I need to be away from my setup to sort of change gears enough to think on a broader picture, because when I'm at my desk, I am sucked into the day to day, right? It's the
you're creator mode. You're in creator mode at your desk.
And the manager mode needs some different time and space.
Yeah. And another suggestion here from a Mac Power user is if you have an Apple device or an Android device, if you just hit that little dictation button and open any text app, Apple Notes would do. If you feel uncomfortable writing about this stuff, just speak it out loud into the microphone. These devices are very good at transcribing now. But there's just, it's not enough to have the conversation in your head. You know, that voice in your head is just full of BS, and you got to put it at the light of day, you know, whether you dictate it, type it, write it with a $300 fountain pen, whatever, you know, makes you happy. Just, but get it out. And then you can turn it upside down and look at it. You know, another thing I talk about in Focus is like, there's a great concept. You know, we talked about Harry Potter earlier. There's a thing that Dumbledore has called the pensive. And it's a thing, if you haven't seen it, it's like a, it's a big bowl. And then he can pull a memory or a thought out of his head and he can stick it in the bowl. And then he can go look at it from different angles. And if there's one thing from the Harry Potter universe I'd like to own, it's a pensive. You know, what a great idea. You know,
100%.
I feel like a personal journal is like a muggle version of a pensive. And when you pull the thoughts out and you put them into a journal and then you look at them, this is just really a variant of that, what I'm talking about. But it really gives you a lot more insight. Don't think you can just think about it for 10 minutes and get to the same, make the same progress that you would if you wrote it down or dictated it or did something.
And I think that's why a lot of people, if it's a theme or whatever it is, you know, I know like in the Relay community, a lot of people will make that, you know, something about that with like their iPhone wallpaper, or they'll have something, you know, printed on their desk, or just that reminder. You know, as you go from, you know, if you're like me, you go from fire to fire most days. It is nice to have that sort of anchoring point. And I know I need that, because if I don't have it, I will go days or weeks and I may be drifting off course, not really realizing it, because I'm not looking back to see, you know, kind of where I've been.
Yeah, I have a whiteboard that sits behind my desk that has my yearly theme with some little sub ideas of what that looks like. And then just recently I've started writing on that board successes for the year, specifically taking time to embrace what good has happened. So often our brains automatically like sit on the negatives, and having something that I can look at and remind myself that, oh yeah, this great thing happened, you should like, don't forget that, has been really, really helpful this year.
Oh man, you better be careful. You're getting near the subject of gratitude journaling, and if you're not careful, I'm going to take another hour. So we got to be careful.
Oh look, there's the 30 minute mark. Oh man.
Oh, look at that.
I want to say, I think 2022 is going to be the year of the grizzly bear. Mm. I think Steven is going to have a great year. I think it's going to be amazing.
Well, I appreciate that.
I hope everyone has a good year, whether you're a grizzly bear or not.
Yes.
Or a turtle or a unicorn.
Or something else, you
whatever.
Know. Whatever. It could be an inchworm, whatever it is.
I mean, if the only thing you do to celebrate the end of the year is identify what animal you are, I feel like 2021 is successful.
I just love how Mary like went straight to it. There was like, she didn't have to think about Mm-mm. it.
She knew. She knew. It was in her head.
You just see the look on her face when she came out here. She's like, what is happening? All right. Well, y'all, thank you for joining me. Members, thank you for another incredible year. You know, we're now a year and a half into sort of our rebooted membership, and we're just so excited about how it's going and excited for another year of it. And if you're not listening to David and Kathy on a regular basis, definitely go check out all their shows. They're all amazing, and we'll see y'all in the new year.